your recipe for the, was it veggie sweet potato lasagna?
Yeah.
It sounds so good. I'm going to try it for our son's birthday supper.
Oh, good. You know, and it the longer it sits, the better it gets. I had some leftover, and then I put some in the freezer. I thought I'd frozen it, and I didn't yet. So I have this new machine that takes, that you, you put it in a bag, and it takes all the air out so you can freeze it.
Oh, right.
Like a food saver kind of a thing, and I've never used it before, so I used it for that. Put it in two servings in a bag, and put it in there in the freezer.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see how that, but I did have a piece left over like a couple of days later, and it was really, really good too, so.
Hmm.
The neat thing about stuff with no animal in it, it lasts a little longer, and I just think it gets better.
Uh-huh, like soup.
Uh-huh.
What was that, Jeannie?
Oh, we're talking about that sweet potato lasagna that I had given out. It's Elaine was saying that she wanted to try that. So, that is a good one. I recommend it. So, let's see here. Good morning, Char.
Morning.
Oh, boy. I was trying to find, I can't remember where I had looked at that, I think it was telling me about the Cancer Center of America, I was looking it up, and I saw some activity was going on, and I cannot find the email that I was, that had led, the link that had led me to it. I was looking that up this morning. Haven't been successful yet at that.
I know how that goes.
I listened in on Dr. Oz. He did a How Healthy Are You quiz a couple of days ago, I think. Anybody get to see that?
I have not yet.
He has it on his, I went to his website, and he has it on there. And he actually had the program viewed in four parts. You can watch the first part, second part, third part, fourth part. Sometime yesterday I went and looked. Because one of the first question was about regarding sleep. And being that NECAN is this is sleep month or whatever. I thought that was really interesting.
Was that with Deepak Chopra?
No, that one was yesterday. The show yesterday.
Okay.
I missed that.
Yeah, I saw part of it. I didn't see all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I got it recorded, so.
Oh, good. Yeah, when I get my new TV, I'm going to have some sort of recording device. I've never been able to figure it out on my big, on the old one here. She said that sleep, not getting enough sleep, was, the first question was something like, do you wake up more than two times?
Rachel Solstice
has arrived.
Good morning, Rachel.
Hi, is this Char?
This is Jeannie. Char's on the phone, though, on the call.
Oh, okay. Hello, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to the call. So I was talking about sleep, and on Dr. Oz, they had a How Healthy Are You quiz. The first one was about getting enough sleep. Do you wake up more than two times an evening? And the doctor that had spoken about sleep briefly, she said that sleep is a, I was trying to see the exact wording because I recopied it, I think, somewhere here. I don't see it here. Anyway, it's a physiological need, just like oxygen is. But, okay, that's good. It's right up there with oxygen. So that's pretty important. Making sure we get a good quality night's sleep.
Yeah.
Rebecca has arrived.
When you heard Dave Stoltz, or Dave Stoltz. I guess why I picked that name up.
Yeah.
When you heard Deepak Chopra on there talking about sleep, did you watch that one?
No, I didn't. I didn't see that. Did you see that part?
Yeah, and I've got to go back through it. In fact, Jenny and I were both sitting down on that one. He was giving the time at which you go to bed, somewhere between, which we've heard this before. It's just that, you know, it's hard to do. It's not hard to do. It's just a matter of switching it. I got the article I was going to read this, go through the day with reprogramming your brain. And it's a whole page that came out. Jenny scans the newspaper like a detective, which is great.
Huh?
But anyway, he said, on the
has arrived.
You know, the best part of it can be the at the time you go to bed, as important as the length of time you're in there, or even more. It'll have more effect on it than the length of time you're in bed. Well, I don't know why I've still been programmed on 6 hours, but I could definitely improve the benefit if I went to bed at 10 and got up at 6, or at 4 a.m. I really don't want to be up that early, though. It's the only thing. It's too dark for too long. But anyway, he was talking about somewhere between 6 and 8, and it'll vary that much. A two-hour period with you know, the way you sleep. And when you said two times a night...
has arrived.
I don't remember any time of the night that I wake up, ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got to be, you know, years and years ago when my father passed away, the first night that I, you know, after it ever happened. That's about it.
Wow, that's great.
But
yeah, I usually
then I look at, you know, I've got the extreme other side of it in our family with Denny, who is just on the total opposite. And why he requires so much more time in bed. I mean, he just can't get up in that length of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's interesting. Ricky requires more sleep, I think, than I can do.
6 hours is on the slim.
Rachel Solstice
has left the conference.
Does he need, does he move at night, Jeannie? Is there any...
Not much. He'll just turn over.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, but still, I mean, my head was, like, sometimes I know the kinks I get are because I literally have moved, I don't know what part of my body I've moved, but, you know, parts of it are going to be in exactly the same position. I get one way, and I'm still there in the morning,
mm-hmm.
where Denny's moving all night long,
mm-hmm.
like I said many, many times. But,
mm-hmm.
but. 6 hours is on the slim side, though.
Well, that's the bottom line, yeah.
Yeah, usually you hear 7 to 8.
Yeah, and they had said on Dr. Oz, she had said, I think 7.5 was like the average, so between. I think she said 7.5. I have to go back and watch that, too. But anyway, I think they said 7 to 9 on there.
I laid there for 1.5 hour this morning after my 6 hour mark. I just laid there
mm-hmm.
and thought.
Has arrived.
I'd rather get up and think.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like an automatic timer with me, and it's the same thing as when I lay down. Unless I have really violated something, I'm totally awake within 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Is it the same when you're on the east?
Yep. Works exactly the same way.
Same amount of hours?
Yeah, same amount of hours. I mean, it hasn't varied for years. Now, what will set that off is if I try and go into a graveyard shift. I never got used to doing that.
Yeah.
That screws up your circadian rhythm.
Yeah, totally. But
yeah, I did that at one time.
You know, I just don't like laying in bed awake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like laying there thinking at night, so I'll read a paragraph and I'm off.
Mm-hmm.
I can't lay and read in bed. I can't do much of anything in bed.
Yeah.
I'm totally relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Interesting. Did you see that show, Nancy, Dr. Oz, with about how healthy are you, his quiz that he did?
What day was that, Jeannie?
I think it was 2 days ago. Tuesday?
The test? No, I haven't watched that one yet.
Yeah, but he has the test online, too.
Oh, okay.
It's interesting.
Yeah. How did you do it?
Talked about, well, I'm in the healthy category.
Good.
I think though, from 1 to 9 is healthy. Of course, we're striving for 0,
oh.
you know, on all of them. And I missed you know, once I started getting into it, I thought, oh, I missed the first five as far as, so I went back online and I still came up with in a good range.
Good.
The main questions were, I just thought the sleep one was interesting in light of NECAN's having a sleep system month, you know, the importance of sleep and that kind of thing. The first one was, do you get up more than two times a night?
Mm.
And the doctor there had said that sleep is a physiological need, just like oxygen is.
Yeah.
That was really an important quote. At least it struck me.
I remember hearing or reading or seeing someplace a while ago that it's important to your body to heal to not raise your head for 5 hours once you're in bed, meaning don't get up for 5 hours. That five-hour stretch is a magic whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, they talked about, this was from the corporate call last night, I think. Dave Balzer had said there was a chart on there that said something about when you sleep, your brain shuts off, but your eyes stay moving.
So they can see your dreams?
Uh-huh. And so
really?
You can do an active part in your dreams, but your brain will shut down. I can't remember the reason behind, not taking notes because there was so much on there.
It totally shuts down. How can you have dreams then?
Well, I mean, it disconnects with. Now I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, does that mean that you're still in the REM sleep, the deep sleep?
Yeah. So you're. But anyway, I'll have to look.
Without the movement, you should be in the deep sleep. I mean, I would think you can get to that. I don't know how long you're there, but.
Yeah.
We have sleep cycles.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was in the sleep cycle thing. There's a chart. I'm sure it's going to be on the. We'll be able to get the. He said the charts would be on our MyNECAN site. We can go to the. And find it. I think my brain is still shut down. No, but I thought it, in light of what you said, I was thinking that not raising your head, because probably when you raise your head, then your brain becomes more active again or something.
That could be. Interesting.
So, yeah, that's what you're
I mean, even if you get up and you're three quarters asleep to go to the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
you fall right back asleep again, that still interrupted what was going on.
Well, and I remember taking my temperature under my arm when I had thyroid difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
She said the true temperature is going to be under your arm, and you want to do it before you get out of bed in the morning, first
mm-hmm.
thing. You can't even get up and go to the bathroom. You've got
mm-hmm.
to take your temperature 10 minutes under your arm.
10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's a degree lower than the mouth, usually?
Yeah, I believe. And it was three, you had to do it 3 days in a row to take the average.
Hmm.
I haven't done that in a while. I'm going to check that out. So that could be important, too.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody have any questions this morning or thoughts about anything other than what we're saying already?
There was an article in our Sunday magazine from the newspaper about walking. It's a short one, so if you'd like, I can give you just the...
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, most of us think about it, walking for our waistline, but it also benefits your memory. They found that walking 6 to 9 miles a week can stop your brain from shrinking as you age.
Oh.
Exercise increases the amount of blood going to the brain, just like it does the heart. This means that more of the important nutrients are necessary to the brain for the functions to be distributed. They found more participants who walked, the more gray matter they retained, although exceeding 9 miles a week provided no additional benefits. Those who walked the most and had half the risk of developing memory problems as those who walked the least. That's interesting.
Wow.
Some loss of brain matter is normal with age, but with increased exercise, the parts of the brain that support memory function, the prefrontal cortex and the hippocampus, are spared. The earlier you start exercising, the better, but it's never too late. Any amount you do will help. So I don't know that necessarily walking is the only exercise, because when you're exercising the brain, the blood goes through the whole body, not just the heart or the waistline. So anytime you're exercising, and they, what was it, 6 to how many miles a week?
Six to nine
miles a week.
Yeah.
Stop the brain from shrinking.
That definitely sounds like a different piece of research than what I was getting. But they added, the one that I had read or heard, I can't remember which it was now, but anyway, was talking in depth about the speed at which a person moves in their walking or, you know, exercise or in their just regular walking also determines the length of their life. And they said that the faster pace was definitely an advantage. And then, of course, at the very end, they said, well, maybe the faster pace is because the better shape they're in to begin with. But they said that definitely correlated with the length of their quality of life and also the total length of it, which I thought was interesting also, because sometimes I think I overdo it because, well, I shouldn't say overdo it. I don't mean in how fast I'm going, but that I move when I haven't thought through my movement as carefully as I could. So, you know, try to do both sides of it, just, I guess, because I'm an analyzer, but to some degree anyway.
Well, it's important to break a sweat.
Yeah. That's very difficult for me.
Really?
Extremely difficult.
With walking or any exercise?
The only way I can do that is if I'm walking a hard uphill walk and really huffing and puffing. I cannot do it on flat ground. I can't make my legs go fast enough. I mean, I just can't move that fast.
Yeah, I do better when I'm going up a hill.
Yeah, I cannot get it up on flat ground. It will not work. And ours, there's enough of an incline on one side of the walk around our, not just our property, but, you know, several pieces of property, and that I can get it up in one section. But once I've started walking regularly every single day on that same stretch, it won't go. It's just your body gets used to it.
That's why you need to cross train. What about if you're wearing your cardio?
Same thing.
Really?
Doesn't matter when I've been doing it, you know, at the full. I've been wearing my cardio strides from almost, well, normally from the time I get up until if I'm going someplace, sometimes I'll take them off. But like last night, I just left them on. They were on all day, so I've, you know, gotten used to that being a part of it now again. So anyway, I just thought it was interesting, you know, all the different facets they look at when they're doing these things.
Interesting. It is. I wish I had more hills.
No, I can find them around here. Really, really steep ones that I did.
Oh, I
and definitely
can.
Huff and puff. The one down.
I have a friend who went to Colorado and hiked down and back up the Grand Canyon. And she lives in Florida. And she had to train for this experience. And if she had gotten there and was not in the right shape, they would not have allowed her to do it. But her training was steps. So you can incorporate steps into your workout, Jeannie.
Okay. Well, and that's true. I could get on my treadmill, too. I do have an incline.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I do, too. I just read that if you blow up a balloon 3 times a day, that is very good for your heart, for your breathing.
That's good for your lungs, too.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
3 times a day, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't blown up a balloon in a while.
And probably not the same balloon for more than a few days, because then it gets stretched. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Anybody try a new recipe lately?
I did last night. It was really good. I got the last issue of Vegetarian Times. I've been to 2 bookstores now trying to get it, and it's not even on the shelf yet. The latest one, and there's one in there because I had an eggplant and I had a pomegranate. There wasn't much brightness in my seeds, which means that it had aged a bit, but it still had flavor, and I can read it. It's not very hard.
Okay.
Not very much to it. although maybe everybody's got the book, magazine.
I don't have that one yet. That's a brand new one.
It's spiced eggplant with feta and pomegranate seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I didn't use the oil. I just used, it starts out with a tablespoon of garlic oil, so I just cut up a couple of garlic cloves and put it in with a little bit of broth and browned one large onion or a package, a 10-ounce package of diced onions. I mean, how hard are they to dice? But anyway, they give you your choice, about 2 cups. And
Rebecca has left the conference.
I only had half the amount of pomegranate that called for. It was like 2 pounds, I think. It was
2 pounds of pomegranate?
Eggplant, I'm sorry.
Oh.
yeah, no, not 2 pounds of pomegranate. Yeah, 2 pounds of eggplant. And it says rounds. It, you know, it doesn't matter to me which kind of eggplant it is, what shape it is. So anyway, I had just a little under a pound, so I just cut everything in half. I thought, oh, that'll be enough for a meal or a couple meals. I know it was enough for one meal. Just a little tiny bit left over. Anyway, you do the onion, saute the onion with half a teaspoon of allspice. I'll give the amounts in the recipe. It's easier for me. And then a fourth of a teaspoon of cinnamon. And alapepo pepper. I've not heard of that one before.
How do you spell that?
A-L-E-P-P-O. Alapepo.
I think I've seen it, but I don't know exactly what it is.
A quarter teaspoon?
One and a fourth teaspoon.
Oh, okay.
And you simmer that together, and then you, you saute that together for about 2 to 3 minutes. Okay, wait, there's more in there, too. You simmer that until it looks the way that, you know, the egg whiz. The onion should, and then you add, let's see, it does say cook for 2 to 3 minutes, and then add the eggplant, which is cut in 1-inch slices. I did them about 3/4 of an inch. I just thought that looked awfully thick. And one can or approximately, 15-ounce can of chickpeas. And they're drained and rinsed. 15-ounce can of tomatoes. And, of course, you can use fresh on all this stuff, so, or cook from dry. And then 1 tablespoon of pomegranate molasses. Well, I had a pint.
Rachel has arrived.
I had a pint bottle of a very thick pomegranate juice. Concentrate, I guess is what it was. And so I used a tablespoon of that. And then you close it up and pressure cook it for 6 minutes is all. Release the pressure quickly. If you don't have a releaser, put it under cold water in the sink. Let it run over the top and then lift it off. And then you top it. Oh, wait, you can season it with salt and pepper. There's already pepper in it, so that was fine. I didn't need any salt at all. And then top it with crumbled feta cheese, fresh mint, and, the feta cheese is a fourth of a cup, and then a third of a cup of fresh mint, and a half a cup of pomegranate seeds. Oh, my goodness.
Yum.
Yes, it was really, really good. So the only thing I really changed was I didn't have fresh mint, so when it was being done in the pressure cooker so the flavors would blend better, I put in a nice-sized spoonful of dried mint. And that worked fine.
Yeah, it would.
You could, you know, definitely do that many. And it was quick. There's this issue. I love it because it's got, I don't know how many pages of pressure cooker recipes. And that's one thing. I forget about it, but I really love using it because it's so quick.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are 30 minutes. There's a butternut and edamame with ginger and onion relish that is...
Oh, wow.
the page before, which sounds really good to me, too.
You know, do you think a pressure cooker would be a, for someone that is not used to cooking a lot and that's single?
If it's the easy one like we've got, Jeannie, yes.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And they had, I picked up one for my daughter-in-law, actually, and for the motorhome, because it's smaller than the one we've got from QVC. And
okay.
It was, I don't know what it was. It was at like $39, $49. It wasn't all that much.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to use it.
Yeah.
But I love it, and I like it for traveling because a lot of times we don't be stopped that long. Mm-hmm. And I can do the prep work sometimes if it's a straight highway, but when it comes to setting something on the stove, I'm not about to do that.
Right.
I did on the old one we used to use of Denny's dad because he had clamps that held it in place, and you wouldn't have gotten them off with, unless you'd rolled it.
Mm-hmm.
But, meaning rolled the motor home. But, you know, normally I don't ever set anything on the stove, but I can set a cooker pot in the sink and run that, so a
mm-hmm.
slow cooker.
Yeah.
So, you know, it depends on what your lifestyle is, what you're doing, and mm-hmm. you know, whether it's something. And I really feel that you're retaining the nutrient level. You obviously lost enzymes because of the heat,
mm-hmm.
but the nutrient level, I don't think you're losing that because everything's in the pot and you're not throwing anything away.
Yeah, all the juice retains in there.
Nothing drain it. Well, actually, you know, it comes out, well, you steam some of it off, but I don't know how much you're going to get out of the steam. But anyway, you've got less liquid when you get through because it's been soaked into the vegetables. And you can do it a crisper texture also by just not doing it as long. It's like a minute, 2 minutes.
Right.
Just have to work on it a little bit. It's not that hard, I don't think.
Yeah.
As long as people aren't scared of a pressure cooker. And you shouldn't be if you do it according to the directions.
Right. Well, with the new ones today, too. I've had mine a long time.
But ours is still the newer science. It's not that dial on the top that you have to watch the pressure.
Rachel has left the conference.
Right.
You know, like the old canning pressure cookers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Those were always more tedious to watch and control the thing. Once it gets up to where it needs to be, you know, there's not really anything you do. You have the heat set where it is. Kind of like
mm-hmm.
using the Vitamix.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. Anybody else have a... Ricky had come up with a new recipe last night. He pulled it offline, and then he made it, and it was really good. It was a pasta recipe, which he loves, you know, the pasta recipes. But we used penne, a whole grain penne. And it came out with zucchini, and we didn't have zucchini, but we had yellow squash. So he cut that up. I don't know exactly. I think he did garlic and onions, of course. He added that to it. And it called for like a cream base, so he used soy milk. And then a little cheese, that Daiya cheese that we had found that's made from tapioca starch. And it was really, really delicious. The flavor was amazing. And then we had a big salad on the side, and it was really good. I really wanted seconds, you know. So I think that's how it went. I was going to have to give it.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah. I was going to see if I could find find the recipe that he's not, I don't think he's around yet. Have him give it.
I've got some zucchinis that I need to use today, so.
And I think with the zucchini, it would be awesome, too. Let me see if I can see. I don't see it either.
Judy, by the way, thank you for sending that Thai soup recipe. I looked at it this morning.
Oh, good. It came out for you. Okay.
The link worked just fine to get to it. I haven't made it yet, of course, but
okay.
I was just looking at it. And the Vegetarian Times, is that a pretty good deal, the $14.95 or whatever it is for 9 issues?
I think
so. Is that a normal price for it?
Yeah.
You save a lot because the regular, where's the price tag on it here? The regular is
I think $4.95 or $5.95. Yeah, it's a great savings on it.
Mm-hmm. Check online, Steve. Sometimes they're offering a special.
Okay. Yeah, it was very interesting to look at that this morning. Spent too many minutes looking at it. So you might have to drive again this morning.
I went on Veggie Times. Go ahead.
Oh, the tag in the book is $19.95. So if you said $14.95,
has arrived.
Depends on how many issues you're talking about.
Yeah, I think it was like 9 issues, and you got a couple extra if you paid ahead or something. So.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that should be good.
And also, I put the calls from the last 3 days up online too. So. And.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's neat.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is, I like that spicy Thai. I'll see if I can get that recipe and send it out. Sure.
Oh, okay, thank you.
So the exact what's in there, I can't find it right now. So, I went on vegetariantimes.com, some link that I'd gotten on my email, and they actually had the recipe, and I just forwarded the link to it yesterday. So I didn't realize I could do that, but I tried it and it worked, so it's good.
Yeah, it worked really great. You know, now I was able to look at all other kinds of stuff, which was fun.
Yeah, and you know, another thing, you can sign up for their, they'll send you, like I signed up for vegan and gluten-free recipes, and I don't know if it's every day, but once a week I get one, you know, and you can go down and look at the list of different ones and click on the ones you like, too.
And I like the way they catalog them in the back of the book.
Yeah,
that
is a real help.
That makes it so convenient to go back, too.
Then you don't have to have little stickies sticking off your magazine.
Oh, which I still do anyway.
Which I still do anyway, yeah. That's funny. Awesome. Anybody else have a comment, question? Something interesting you saw on the news? Or?
Oh, Danny's got a stack of newspapers higher than I can keep up with here going on.
Wow. Now, do you buy the newspaper or do you...
We have it coming now. They had like $1.99 a month. It was something really ridiculous. And you had 18 weeks, I think, on that rate. And then he usually drops it, and then they keep working to get you back and lets it go for a while because we get enough of them. Plus, I want to use them in the garden this summer, this spring. In the bed, at least the bed, the way I've been reading. So anyway, it was kind of dual purpose. And we had none around the house. We had to, our son sent us up to the Boy Scouts shed to get some recycle shed. I said, we can't even build a fire. We've got no newspapers around here.
Have you checked what kind of ink they use, Char?
Yeah, it is. It's been soy for years out here.
Good.
Yeah, even the colored. I did. I checked with Fred, who took the Master Gardeners course here. And so anyway, yeah, I want to go ahead and do that also.
Sounds good. Okay, here's the thing. I'm looking online here real quick. 10 tips for better sleep. Surprising signs that you're sleep deprived. It's interesting what they have in the new. You know, I always like to track, well, not always, but see what they have, the headlines are, and how NECAN's right along the lines with them.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty interesting to me how that works. They're doing their research, I'm sure, too, so.
Yeah,
surprising signs that you're sleep deprived.
And keep your eyes open.
Has left the conference.
Good one.
Yeah.
That's the one I go by when I crawl into bed.
Yep.
That's the one. Oh, it's time to go. It says our bodies give plenty of signals when we're tired, but some of us are so used to being sleep deprived, we remain oblivious to how impaired we really are.
We just ignore them.
Mm-hmm. The one I've been consciously violating is connected with sleep is eating later at night. Like last night, we had to go eat something. I said, either we go home and I get some food like now or else. And I've been watching the scales, and I know it's because of what's going on. I mean, when your metabolism raises, I said, I can't believe it. I think I got a tapeworm. And I feel great, you know. But I know my body is working at a different pace. Mm-hmm. And I'm just utilizing more food, so I have to eat it because I don't, you know, I don't want to drop anymore. So
that's one of the first one is you're flummoxed. I haven't seen that word before, flummoxed by even simple decisions. The second one says you've been eating all day and you're still hungry. One little tip is, she's a spokesperson for the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. She said tired people tend to be particularly drawn to sugars and other simple carbohydrates, probably because the body is looking for a quick pick-me-up. Sleep deprivation also tends to erode self-control, making you likely to choose a brownie over carrot sticks.
And see, when I took the sugar out, that was the other thing. I mean, I've had a little bit, but way less than I have had, way less bread than I've been, you know, eating in the past. And
yep.
So that also affects, you know, how your body...
Oh, sure it does.
So it's just like, I've really worked on trying to get to a different awareness and utilizing what I'm saying.
Yeah. The
and
third
believe.
One.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Yeah, the third one is you keep coming down with colds. The fourth is the ballads on American Idol move you to tears.
that's the immune system with the cold.
Yeah.
It's affected by sleep.
Exactly. Yeah, it says that, and they have a whole other link to the 10 top worst things for your immune system, but more vulnerable to infection than those who are well-rested, which makes sense, yeah. Researchers injected healthy volunteers with a cold virus. Those who slept less than 7 hours a night for the previous week were 3 times more likely to develop symptoms than those who got 8 hours or more. In another study, people who got only 4 hours of sleep for several nights in a row had a weaker immune response to the flu vaccine than those who slept 7.5 to 8.5 hours. Interesting. You become a klutz is one of them. I can remember times when I cut corners too quickly, I mean physically going around corners, and I bump into the wall with my shoulder. And when I start doing that a lot, that's probably what the... You know, but it's interesting, and you start living with symptoms or whatever.
You try to adjust to them, is what I think.
Try to adjust to them, yeah.
And which is definitely the wrong thing to do.
And then they say your high energy recovery plan in the morning: soak up the sun. An early morning walk.
Sun?
Where is that?
I don't understand what that word means.
Morning rays boost energy by suppressing the sleepiness-inducing hormone melatonin. So we have to get our light out for that one, huh? Early evening re-energize with exercise.
That was another thing that they said was the after-dinner walk or even late night on one of the things that we had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to my brain would say, gee, that would just rev me up, but actually it's supposed to do the reverse. I don't do that very often, though.
Yeah, it says even though you're tired, forcing yourself to do aerobic exercise will energize you for a couple of hours and make it easier to fall asleep at night. Your body temperature naturally falls at night shortly before bedtime. So the natural dip in temperature that happens about 2 hours after a workout can help you get to bed at a decent hour and wake up refreshed the next morning. Huh. Then have your piece of chocolate at 1 o'clock. No, I'm just kidding. That has stuck in my mind the last day or two. I'm like, okay, 1 o'clock, it's chocolate time.
It was either 1 or 2, I think.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, you have to after you take it. You can't stand your mouth.
I know, yeah.
It's too sweet. Mm-hmm. Although the bittersweet's better.
Yeah, I like the bittersweet better, too. anyway.
All you need to have is one of those brownies, and that'll give you enough chocolate for the week.
That's
there you go.
Right.
Very true.
I gotta freeze them, put them in the freezer frozen. Then I'm not as likely to get them out, for one thing. And
you know, I was actually really good. I actually made my pan last until yesterday, so I was pretty proud of myself.
Very good. You know, my last batch, I made those little tiny muffin tins like you had done, Char. I remember you said something about that, and I had a tin.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I had never used it. It was from a Pampered Chef party I went to years ago. It was still in the wrapper, so I used that, and they came out so cute. It's so perfect, you know, because you get like two or three bites out of that one and you're done.
I am going to use that. I think I can get more out of that. I can get more out of that, I'm sure, than I can out of doing it in a square pan, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do that for next Monday or Tuesday at our all-day gig here in town for, I think twice a month is what we're doing at the center. We're going to do a drop-by, and I've already started inviting people, so we've got a lot more to invite.
Oh, how fun. That's a good idea.
And I'm going to put a pot of soup on, like I said. I said that before.
Yeah. What kind of soup are you going to make?
Boy, I'm really going back and forth. I've got so many I like. I like navy bean, that tortilla soup I haven't made for a long time.
Yeah, I like that
It really
too.
Goes over well, too. And you can use the crumbles in there so they think they're really getting meat.
Yeah. Awesome.
Do something that's a little more transitional, you know, that people are...
Mm-hmm.
But then I look through this book and I see all these new ones that I want to try, so I'm going to... Maybe I'll have to even have two soups. I don't know.
Have a whole little choice there of...
Yeah.
...of soups you want.
Well, I'm looking down at the pressure cooker one with the veggies in it, so that's always a good one, too.
Yeah, it is. I like that one, too. Well, anybody else? Last-minute thoughts?
No, good information, Jeannie. Thank you.
Thanks for everybody's participation. And have a great rest of the day. Make it a good one, and be back tomorrow.
Sounds good.
As always, a great call. Thanks, Jeannie.
You're welcome. Thank you, Steve. Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Thanks to you.
Bye.